Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. To look at him now, you might think Eric Hutchinson has had an easy career ride to match his breezy tunes and playful lyrics. After all, his music video for his single Rock and Roll is on the top 20 on VH1, and his MySpace page has clocked more than 1.5 million hits. But you would be wrong. His debut album was more than 5 years in the making. He signed to a record label only to be dropped when the album went into production. But all's well that ends well. His album is a critical hit. He's winding up a 40-city tour, and he was nice enough to stop long enough to join us in NPR Studio 4A. Welcome, Eric Hutchinson. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what happened with the first album? What happened?
I was trying to make an album for about 5 years, and it was just time after time of things falling apart. I saved up some money, and then I would go into the studio, and it would all come out horribly. And then I got signed to Maverick Records, which was Madonna's label. And I thought, okay, at that point, I've been doing it for about 4 years. I was like, okay, this is finally my break. Things are taking off. Here we go. And then I was just doing the demos, getting ready to start to make the record. And then the label folded. It was pretty night and day. They called me up and they said, I was like going into the studio. And they go,
you were literally going into the studio.
We were already in the studio. Yeah. And I get the call. Maverick's freezing. Everything's on hold. You can't stay in your hotel tonight. We're flying you home. Like very, very abrupt. And
it's like getting a Dear John letter.
Exactly. It was pretty bad, it definitely shook me a lot. And so I went off and made this album myself.
How do you make an album yourself?
I don't know. That was actually, it was definitely one of the best experiences of my life. It was kind of like that. It was sort of thinking, how do I make an album myself? I'm tired of relying on other people. They keep flaking out on me. So I started kind of calling everybody that I knew that I'd met over the years and trying to get people together. And, the internet turned out to be really amazing. I had this mixer that I found, just kind of looking through people. He'd mixed some of Outkast's albums and Stevie Wonder's last album and a bunch of different things that I really liked. So I just sent him, a MySpace message shot in the dark and just said, here's my music. I'm looking for people to work on this album with me. And he actually, wrote back and ended up mixing most of the album and stuff like that. So things like that were really cool. It was people who just believed in the music, which was good.
And I understand that the internet also played a role in your being discovered again, that the celebrity blogger Perez Hilton heard about you and raved about you.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So, pretty much I made the album and I'd spent so much time and energy and resources making the album. I didn't really know what I was going to do with it once I was done. I was just mentally exhausted. And so I was just selling it at my shows and we had it on iTunes. And then like maybe a week after it came out, a friend of mine from high school had sent the record to him and he really liked it. And he put this glowing review up in his site, which gets, 4 million hits a day or something like that, with a link to iTunes and my MySpace page. And it just blew up overnight. It shot the album up into the top 10 of iTunes.
The top 10 of iTunes
yeah.
Overnight?
Yeah. Within the day, it had record labels calling and all this stuff. And just like a real unexpected kind of frenzy. And I ended up signing again with Warner Brothers, who had been the ones that had just dropped me 6 months before. And
you're a forgiving soul.
Right, something like that.
I want to talk about the song that's been getting a lot of attention, Rock and Roll.
Yes.
Want to play it? You want to talk first, or do you want to play it first?
I'll play it.
Okay, let's play it.
Been waiting around for the weekend, figuring which club to sneak in. Fancy drinks and $50 cover charge. Lately it's been a big hassle, Heineken and Newcastle, to make sure he's fitting in and living large. Disregard Lizzie, he will tell him what he's probably like, cause it's not hard. His charm is gonna get him through the night. If he wanna rock, he rocks. If he wanna roll, he rolls. He can roll with the punches as long as he feels like he's in control. And if he wanna stay, he stays. If he wanna go, he goes. He doesn't care how he gets there, long as he gets somewhere he knows. Oh no, na 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 na. See her. Heavy makeup and cut t-shirt. Every girl out wants to be her. But they look the same already. Why adjust? Reading the magazine secrets. Getting the topical regrets. if she comes home all alone, the night's a bust, it's a must. Swiveling her hips and the look she gives, it's all a trust. If only in the morning she knew where she lived. As if she wanna rock, she rocks. If she wanna roll, she rolls. She can roll with the punches long as she feels like she's in control. And if she wanna stay, she stays. If she wanna go, she goes. She doesn't care how she gets there, long as she gets somewhere she knows. Oh no, and na 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 na, and na 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 na. And in a wink, on the brink, from drink to drink at the bar, we cash to blow, shot to shot. It's getting hot, advance the plot to see how far it's gonna go. All depends, oh, ditch the friends and grab a cab, another chance, a cheap romance. Doesn't count cause the room is spinning. Nothing to lose tonight, they both are winning. And they fall in love as they fall in bed, they sing. If they wanna rock, they rock. If they wanna roll, they roll. They can roll with the punches long as they feel like they're in control. And if they wanna stay, they stay. If they wanna go, they go. They don't care how they get there, long as they get somewhere they know. Oh no, na 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 na.
All right, rock and roll.
Yes.
People like a lot of different things about the song, but tell us, is there a story behind the song? Are these people we knew?
I wrote the song. I was living in New York for a summer, and I was underage, and I was I couldn't get into any of the bars or the clubs, and I kind of wrote this song, convincing myself I didn't need to get in there to have a good time, sort of. And it turns out I was kind of right.
Now, the term blue-eyed soul hasn't reared its ugly head too often
right.
in relation to you,
yeah.
but... it has been said.
Right.
What do you think of that term?
I actually just had a conversation with some of my friends about this who were really, they were chastising me for allowing that term to come through because they said it was just, you know, it was a way of watering down the term or something. You know, he's like, my friends were like, you play soul music, so just say soul music. You don't have to like, you know, all blue-eyed soul music means is that you're white and you're singing.
What about that? What is up with
it's
that?
It's interesting, you know, because I mean,
your eyes are brown for the record.
They are,
right?
they are. I know, so it's brown-eyed soul, I guess, which is just soul music again. I don't know, you know, it's tough because I am white and I play the guitar. So, you know, when I show up places, people want to like, you know, kind of pigeonhole me into certain places and stuff like that. And
you got the guitar, you got the plaid shirt. So
right, exactly.
It must be like folk.
Exactly. It must be folk or I must like Nirvana or something or, you know, but I mean, I like all kinds of music and it's sort of frustrating to kind of be pushed into one genre. But I mean, I think these days it's just, you need to be able to explain to somebody quickly. And that's what people want to know, you know. Oh, his music, what does it sound like? And you got to give him a little, you know, oh, it's Stevie Wonder meets blah, blah, blah or something.
Is it soul?
I think so. I mean, that's to me the basis of everything that I'm doing and the music that I really love. And if I trace back all the people that I love, it was Stevie Wonder, it was Motown, it was Michael Jackson, it was Prince. But then also on the other side, people like Billy Joel and the Beatles and Paul Simon. If you go back to what they grew up listening to, it was doo-wop. It was, you know, it was also Motown. It was blues and stuff like that. To me, it's always got to have that sort of feeling behind it.
Is the point of the blue-eyed soul thing to signal to white people, he's one of us, he's one of us?
I guess so. I think usually blue-eyed soul is sort of an insulting term because it's kind of like, it's a white version of soul music, you know? It's not quite there, but it's...
You'll like it. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel you have something to prove being white that you're...
Yeah,
being white or just being new to the scene?
Both, but I find that I really want the approval of the African-American fan base, but these days... I feel like that youth is listening to a lot of vocoder recorded Lil Wayne kind of stuff. You know, I find most of the people that I meet that are interested in sort of classic soul music are, you know, like college-aged white guys who think they're artsy or something because they have a good Otis Redding collection.
Do you think, though, you know, we're using this term in politics and in culture that we're post-racial. Do you think in a way that music is getting to be post-racial?
Singing with soul, I think, is not a racial thing. I think it's just certain people have and some people don't. You know, some people think Josh Groban has a lot of soul or something. You know, I find him to be like, you know, like a machine. Don't tell him I said that.
I'll try to keep it to myself.
But, you know, I think it's like a personal thing to different people, but I don't know. Who decides who has soul and who doesn't?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with and having an in-studio performance by Eric Hutchinson. He's playing songs from his new album, Sounds Like This. Speaking of soul,
yeah,
one of your more soulful songs on the album, Okay, It's All Right With Me.
Yeah,
you probably can say it in a cooler way than I can.
I think that's pretty much how I say it.
Really?
Okay, It's All Right With Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Want to play it?
Okay, it's all right with me. Some things are just meant to be. It never comes easily. When it does, I'm already gone. And I'm practically never still. More likely to move until I end up alone at will. My life continues inching along. When Bernadette comes, I get lost on her time. She's much too sweet, and she's always gonna be. And when I return to her arms and her eyes, it might not be the same, but it's alright with me. And okay, it's alright with me. Some people are scared to see what's happening frequently, but I would never shout from a fight. And heartbeat with a high demand often will go hand in hand. But I'm sick of just starting plans. I wanna spend the rest of my life. When Bernadette comes, I get lost on her time. And she's much too sweet, and she's always gonna be. And when I return to her arms and her eyes, it might not be the same, but it's alright with me. It's alright with me. It's alright with me. It's alright with me. Okay, it's alright with me. Oh, it's alright with me. Oh, it's alright with me. Okay, it's alright with me. Okay, it's alright with me. Some things are just meant to be. It never comes easily. And when it does, I'm already gone.
Well, okay. It's all right with me. What's your method? What comes to you first, the lyrics, the hook?
Almost always melody. I think the melody has to drive the song for me. So, but I'm always on the lookout for good things to talk about and topics to get into and stuff like that.
Your sound, at least on this album, is kind of like, hey, you know, it's all right. Everything's fine. But it's not just surface stuff. I mean, you know, you feel like there's something behind it, and maybe there's a little, sometimes there's a little hint of sadness behind it.
Right. It's actually been a big surprise. I mean, a pleasant surprise. But, you know, I made the album in a frustrating time. I wrote the songs most of the time, you know, from frustrations. And I think I sort of tend to make them happier, sort of cheer myself up or something like that. So when I thought of the songs, you know, I sort of always thought of it as being a little bit hurtful, I guess. But then the main thing that people across the board tell me is how happy the album makes them, and you know how they start their day listening to it, and that kind of stuff was really great to, you know, to start hearing. So
I was curious about that because I heard the album before I heard all of what had gone on
right
to get to that point. And I was thinking, are you really that easy breezy? Is that just your personality? Or, but then when I think there is some hurt behind it. I feel that there is a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? A little of the blues. I mean,
yeah.
Some of the fact is that life is not that easy, even if
I guess skeptical maybe is a better word for me. You know, like I actually think of myself as an optimist, but I'm kind of guarded and things have to sort of present themselves to be a legit situation or something. But I kind of thought the songs were sort of pep talks almost to myself or something like that, you know. But I mean, Stevie Wonder, I always loved him, and then I really got into his catalog deeper, like, you know. And the thing I really loved about his music was his message, you know. It's even the angriest song, something like Living in the City or something like that, where it's very, you know, angry. The last verse is all, you know, very uplifting. And his music just really has that positive message that comes through. And, you know, and I took a lot out of that as a listener. So that was a very conscious effort, you know, when I was making the songs to push some positivity through it. I didn't want to just be complaining.
I interviewed a guy, spiritual leader, and he said, there's a saying in his practice, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
It's kind of true. I kind of agree with that.
Well, how will you know when you're there?
I don't know. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. And that's what, you know, I end up writing a lot of songs about, is this idea of, does it ever feel easy? You know, does it ever feel like it was sort of supposed to? Like, things are constantly changing. It's never like a end of a chapter, really, like a clean end.
Speaking of what it means to kind of go through life, I was hoping you could take us out on one of the songs on your album, that probably the shortest song title on record, Oh.
Right. It's easier to get the emphasis on that one correctly.
Where did this one come from?
It's this idea that everybody has something to teach you. So sometimes in the song, all I do is say, oh, you know, and everybody else tells me what's going on with their life, and it somehow means something to me, you know? So... Oh.
Eric Hutchins' debut album is titled Sounds Like This. We're going to leave you with his performance of the song Oh. To hear this performance as well as the album version of the songs, please check out npr.org. Eric Hutchins, thank you so much for speaking with us, and good luck.
Yeah, thank
you. On everything.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And happy holidays.
Thanks. Same to you.
Oh. 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 I got arrested in the dark of the night. The cop got restless as he read me my rights. He told me I'm always envious of those that I jail. If I got locked up, nobody'd come to help me post bail. And I said, oh, 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 oh. And I said, oh, 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 oh. Went to a party on the side of a hill. Met three Latinos who had gotten their fill. They told me nobody ever gets...
You've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Let's talk more tomorrow.